Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 9th of May, recording at 8:09 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first a quick review. In the Asian stock markets, we had mostly firmer action. Good action by Japan. We haven't seen that in a while. And some of the important clues here. Well, I'm going to come back to those. Now, it seems almost sadistic. The bank share index still way behind, but it's shown some real vigor in the last week or so, and the second section as well. And we do have a position where it does seem as if the Nikkei and topics are primed to break up out of their current little ranges. Okay, European stock market started out up, then moved down, and then mostly closed with gains. UK was unchanged. Wall Street is on the highs of the day right now. As I speak, Dow up 42, 3.5 on the S&P, and 3 and a bit on the NASDAQ comp. Long-dated government bonds are easier in here, except for gilts, which closed up a fraction. Those are bond prices. The U.S. dollar was up, then down, and back up again in here right now. And I think it liked the Fed's comment in the sense of looking for growth and still saying that inflation was the predominant risk. The precious metals weakened in here again today, but closed well off the lows. Perhaps the steadiest performance by platinum, which closed down 3.7. There'll be some after-hours trading here, of course, but that was $9 off the low. Gold is currently down $5 at 680, but very much a sort of a ranging pattern here overall. We've seen plenty of that, haven't we? And industrial metals, I think there was an article I noted that somebody had sent in, or I saw it somewhere, saying that nickel prices were unsustainable. Well, we've heard that before. It'll be right one day. People just keep on saying it. And that did knock nickel back below the psychological $50,000 level. And that tended to weigh on the other industrial metals a bit today. Bit of a revival in the soft commodities. Excuse me. Sugar, London sugar at any rate, is one of the better performers, but they're mostly up on the day. Okay, so what have we got going here? Well, in terms of global stock markets, the overall upward trends are still intact, although we have seen a loss of upside momentum in a number of indices recently. So when I mentioned Japan steadying, that is one of the firmer ones in here over the last couple of days. It had been very much a laggard. But many stock market indices are in what looks like a ranging consolidation. Now, that's good news. Maybe less exciting, but we don't want to see stock markets get too overextended on the upside, because that will lead to more volatility, bigger downward reactions, increased risks. Whereas if markets take a good step up and then go into a rather dull ranging consolidation, a type of reaction phase in line with forecasts, then that's favorable. Very favorable action overall. The one that does concern me is China. I posted that again. I posted the Shanghai Composite Index because that's the one that the news services and various reports seem to comment on most frequently. I don't know if that's the one they look at mainly in China, and that would be an interesting point. No doubt one of the subscribers will know. In other words, what do Chinese investors look at? If they follow any one index, is it the Shanghai Composite? If not, which one is it? But I've posted the Shanghai Composite, and you can see all the others in the chart library, of course. It is up for the eighth straight day. It has gained over a third. Did I say eighth straight day? It is up over the eighth consecutive week. Let me just say that again. Shanghai Composite Index is up over the eighth consecutive week, during which it has gained a third. So it's up over 33% during that period. It is also up at the psychological 4,000 level. It certainly had a blip at the 3,000 level, albeit short-lived. Will it do so at the 4,000 level? Well, we will soon see. But it is overextended. Now, China is no ordinary emerging market these days. That would have been the case a few years ago. If China got overextended, nobody would have cared that much or paid attention. But it is important, I believe, and I think there's technical evidence to suggest that it has become a bellwether, and that would make sense since China has certainly been the biggest news story, well, in my mind at any rate, for the last few years. So if China is moving upwards at an unsustainable rate, as it certainly is, that means when we get the first downward week, particularly if it moves down on dynamics, as I've mentioned before on many occasions, that would certainly be a warning, and it would certainly test investors' nerves, as I've written today. That doesn't necessarily mean that anything catastrophic is going to happen, but it would certainly suggest at least a reaction and consolidation and possibly a bit more. We'll be able to analyze it when it happens, and it will of course happen. So this rate of advance in China is, say, unsustainable beyond the short term. Wall Street's action is still really quite good. The Wall Street leash effect is a factor that we need to be very aware of, one that I've mentioned over and over again and written about on many occasions, although I've mentioned it less frequently. And that's partly because I think we now have the China leash effect as well. And as we have clearly moved from a unipolar to a multipolar world. That's probably a good thing, but that's a philosophical digression, and I won't go any further down that path. So, other factors, what about the canaries in the coal mine? Well, the government bonds are quiet overall, but the European ones, bond prices are pressuring some lows, which are going to give away at some point. As long as bond yields are not spiking upwards, long-dated government bond yields, that is, as long as they're not spiking upwards, then they're not really a headwind for global stock markets, and they're not going to be a big concern to central banks at today's levels. Oil prices, it's been good news this week as far as inflation fears are concerned, because the NYMEX price has moved lower. It's moved lower, actually, than the Brent price, which is, some say, is now the more relevant benchmark. But suffice it to say that oil, having been pretty steady, has drifted down here a little bit. And while that lasts, that softer ranging tone, then that's not causing a problem. And the dollar is not causing a problem at the moment. It's steadied up near some prior support. So against this background, I am content to remain long, but I wouldn't want to be complacent about markets. And here I've written further about this today, so I'll stop and move on to the currency markets. I can see the dollar getting a little technical rally in here. It's a bit oversold in the short term following a persistent move on the downside, which has lost downside momentum near some prior support, as I mentioned. I don't think there's big scope on the upside. For one reason, growth in the US is weaker than in a number of other countries. Obviously, that's somewhat discounted by the market, as are the other factors. Interest rates U.S. interest rates are going to remain on hold while they're still moving up in Europe and some other regions. And everybody pretty well knows that the U.S. needs and wants at Treasury and central bank level a softer dollar. Now, these are all known factors here, so again, much of it is in the price, but nonetheless, these are real fundamental factors as well. So I don't think we can see much beyond a technical rally in here. But any technical rally might, well, would represent a modest headwind in all probability for the precious metals, which are just in these ranging patterns. They're not performing against all currencies in here right now. Although I said it would possibly be a mild headwind, I do recall instances in the past when gold and other precious metals didn't do all that well when the dollar was easing. And I'm thinking at some stage last year. But when the dollar went into a technical rally, and gold seemed to do a little bit better, it started to appreciate against some of the other currencies. So that link does not keep gold and precious metals in lockstep. In other words, beg your pardon, does not keep gold and the US dollar in lockstep. In other words, a weaker dollar is not always bullish, just as a firmer dollar is not always bearish for the US dollar price of gold. But my own take on this is that gold is ranging in a consolidation pattern along with the other precious metals. It is a pattern that is not that dissimilar to what you saw on BHP and Rio Tinto and a number of other mining indices that I have posted, a big rounding consolidation support building process that eventually leads to renewed strength. And that I do anticipate, but it may just drift around range a little bit longer in here before we get the next move on the upside. I don't think that'll be too long away, though, because of the steadiness of platinum. And platinum is, well, veteran subscribers will know I've been saying over the years, platinum so often leads these moves on the upside in this cycle. But I've also referred to silver as a bit of a leader, and it's actually lagging at the moment. But I think probably platinum's firm tone is the more important of the two indicators here right now. And platinum has just backed off its high, I think temporarily. It's not seeing any downward dynamics, and certainly if platinum surges up through that former high anytime soon, and I just said I think there's a good chance that that's exactly what will happen, that would be a good indication for the rest of the precious metals. I get a lot of emails coming in on gold shares versus the bullion. I've said all along, I've been saying for at least 6 years, and I said it in cycles when gold was interesting in previous decades, I prefer the metal to the shares. And I've written a lot about that, so I won't review all that at this stage. But with the industrial mining shares doing so well right now, that may cause investors to view the precious metal shares in a somewhat more bullish light. That's certainly a possibility. Soft commodities, a lot of them look a little bit oversold and showing some recovery potential here. But as I've said on so many occasions, the weather is the crucial factor. Now, and it's early in the growing season for most of them. Now, if we were to get the spikes in soft commodity prices that sections of the media have been talking about, that would certainly cause problems on the inflation front. But we're a long way from that right now. Prices are a long way from that, at least. And as I say, it would take some really adverse weather conditions to produce those spikes. Okay, I think that's pretty much it. And Wall Street, well, no, it's got about 35 minutes, but still firm, 42 up on the Dow. All the best.